Hey, this is Brandon McManus, Denver Broncos Super Bowl champion, and you listen to The Scoop on AlScoop.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to The Scoop. We're in season six now, episode two. I'm John DiCarlo. My trusted counterparts, Sam Newman, Sam Cohen, are with me again. How you doing, guys? What's going on?
Doing good. Trying to get through, 2 weeks of class, 2 weeks of online classes has been repetitive and weird, but other than that, no complaints.
And more Zoom for you guys.
Yeah.
The
more Zoom, the better.
Ready to go to the beach this weekend, so.
There you go. Where are you going, Sam?
Going to Ocean City.
I was just there a couple weeks ago. Beautiful. Get some sun, low humidity. It's supposed to be a good weekend, right?
Yeah. I can ask for them to really get out there, so.
I'm gonna offer an unpopular take that I might get roasted for.
Oh, no.
It's solid pizza, but if there's a long line at Mac and Manco's, it's not worth it.
No idea.
It's Manco and Manco's, whatever it's called now. It's probably sacrilegious to say this to the Ocean City community, but I wouldn't wait in long lines for anything right now, but.
I can't say I would know, but I'll bring it up to my roommate and I'll let you know if, what he thinks of your take.
Well, where's this place? Where in Ocean City? Do you know where you're staying?
He lives on 12th Street.
Okay. So closer down to like the north end of town. Yeah, yeah. You'll love it. It's beautiful. You've been there before?
Probably when I was younger. I mean, the beaches we usually go to are in the south now, so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, Sam Newman getting away this weekend, taking some time to unplug. I like it. I like it.
Nick Cohn not getting any sun.
You can walk around in the city, you know. You get to live in Boston and grow up in Boston. You've had access to Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod, Newport. Yeah,
man,
I don't feel sorry for you. You've had some nice beaches and nice landscape around you.
Not wrong.
I'm just kidding, Sam. I like
not gonna fight you on that one.
Nah.
All right. On the Boston Harbor.
YeNorth End of Boston, all the Italian restaurants. It's all there and available for you when you get home again. So we have a lot for you guys this week. Obviously, football is still preparing for their season opener that is currently set for September 26th at Navy. We got some football audio coming your way today. The biggest story of the week, I would say, is Temple. By the time you guys are listening to this podcast, you will know that Zach Hicks, the small forward from Camden Catholic High School just over the river in South Jersey, has verbally committed to Temple. So now Temple has their second verbal commitment from the 2021 class in the fold. Sam Cohn has gotten a chance to talk to him. We have the story embargoed right now. Again, we're recording on Friday afternoon. Sam, you just talked to Zach. We don't want you to give away the whole story just yet, but you had a chance to talk to him. Again, by the time you guys are listening to this, Sam's story will be up on the site. Sam, just give us a little bit of a glimpse of your conversation and why he chose Temple, and give us a little bit of insight into his game.
Yeah, so biggest thing, he was essentially coming down to Temple versus Richmond. He made his decision on Wednesday, announced Friday. So today, if you listen to today, tomorrow, announced decision Friday to go with Temple. A big part of his decision was and this is something I've talked to him about before, is he's a really, really strong relationship with assistant coach Chris Clark, and he's had a growing relationship with Aaron McKee. They've been in on him since his sophomore year of high school. And one thing he said to me today that I thought was really interesting was about how he two things. He had official visit to Temple that he really felt comfortable around the coaches, and he felt more comfortable than on visits like Richmond. He just felt that connection with Temple's coaching staff, felt comfortable with them. But he said he's been watching a lot of highlights of Aaron McKee lately, and he's been able to resonate a lot with who Aaron McKee was as a player in comparison to who he is, saying, you know, he may not be the most athletic guy on the floor, he may not be the best ball handler, but he's the kind of guy who's going to work really hard, got a high basketball IQ, and he's going to get after it and not take any plays off. So, you know, that was a big thing that he felt like he had that connection with Coach McKee, and then having that relationship and just feeling comfortable ultimately helped him make that decision. And then the other thing I'll say is that there's been some rumors flying around about the potential of him taking a redshirt year, which would be because of his size. He's 6'6", 185. He's a pretty lanky kid, or 6'7", excuse me, pretty lanky kid, wants to put on some beef, wants to put on some muscle before he gets the college game, because he does want to make an immediate impact at Temple. He feels like that's his style of game. He feels like he can produce on the floor right away. But Temple will be putting him on a weight training program his senior year of high school to try to bulk him up a little bit, get some weight on him, and then this time next year, before next season, he'll decide if redshirt is the way he wants to go. But he'll be trying to put on some weight for the next year or so. And I mean, right now he's just focused on trying to win a state championship with Camden Catholic.
Now, Sam, this is a pretty big deal for them, right? I mean, I know that he's not a McDonald's All-American, not a top. I mean, as the rankings stand now, it's not going to move the needle necessarily for the fans who are rankings junkies, but you know, again, it came down to Temple and Richmond. He had an offer from Missouri. Missouri was very much in the mix with his recruitment. Georgia was looking around at him as well. A guy who's local, a guy who can really, really shoot the ball. And we've talked about this before. He's had options. There was the possibility that there was talk that he might reclassify. And I think a lot of kids, if they're able to do that right now, they might look around at the pandemic and say, why not give myself an extra year? I've got options. I could go to this prep school, whatever. How big of a deal is this for Temple to land this verbal at a time where things are uncertain and they could convince them you don't need to reclassify, you don't need to go anywhere else, you can stay home?
I think it's a great get for them. He's a 3-star recruit again at Camden Catholic. And John, I know you're not a big fan of comparisons, but I think the best comparison I can make for what he's bringing to the table, and obviously whether or not he lives up to this, who knows, it's way too early to tell, but like body size, type, style of play, who he can be on the floor, I think can be really similar to Quentin Rose. Just he's got a similar body to him. He's I think he's a couple inches shorter, maybe around the same height, but he's the kind of kid that can come off screens. He can catch the ball in the mid-range and just go to work. He can work off the dribble. He can attack the basket. Defensively, he's really lengthy. He likes to get after it. So I think just that's physically and kind of style of play, that's the best comparison I can give. But again, I really think he could be an immediate impact on the wing. He's 6'7", but he likes to play outside. He's not the best shooter. It's something he's working on, but he's not by any means a bad shooter. He does have a 3-point shot. He can be lethal from out there if he gets going. So I think he's a great get and a great scoring addition off the wing. But I mean, he said himself, his style of play is not ISO basketball. He wants to impact the game in other ways. He wants to be a good teammate on the floor and kind of work off the ball.
Two quick things. Whoever said I was not a fan of comparisons? I like a good comparison. And also, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
That's all. You hate comparisons.
When did I ever say I hate comparisons?
Well, you don't like comparisons when it's to like when I think comparison, I think like style of play. I think like,
yeah.
Ty Strickland, the way he works the ball is like similar to the way Kyrie Irving wants to work the ball, but obviously, right. You know, not nearly near that. And whenever those comparisons kind of come up, you always say they're unfair, or you try to stray away from them.
Well, I mean, I think, I think a lot of people feel this way sometimes when coaches or reporters put a player in a box. And I know what you're getting at. You're not saying, in this case, you're not saying Ty Strickland is Kyrie Irving. We should, while we're on the subject, Sam was the first to get this information on Ty Strickland having successful shoulder surgery. We'll see what the timetable is going to be if the season starts in November versus if the season starts in January. But that's obviously something to keep an eye on, because if the season does start in November and Ty's not ready, now you're looking at maybe a point guard by committee approach with a couple of freshmen like Jeremiah Williams, maybe Jaleel White or someone else handling the ball. I'm sure we'll probably touch on that over the next several weeks. But yeah, getting back to the comparison thing, I mean, it's fun. I mean, we like to look ahead when a recruit comes in. You ask people, who does he remind you of? But Zach, the other thing I'll say too is when you talk about Quentin Rose, if you were to compare him to Q, I think Zach's an immeasurably better shooter than Quentin Rose was when Quentin was coming out of high school in New York. I mean, Q used to bring the ball up from like his hip and move it up and get that slow release off. And obviously he worked on his shot, but you know, Hicks, I think when you watch him now, he's got a good release. He's comfortable shooting the three. He's comfortable with that fadeaway game and played against some pretty good competition in South Jersey. Again, all the schools in Jersey really didn't get to a certain point in their schedule where they could play for a true state championship, play in the Tournament of Champions. It would have been interesting to see what he had been able to do there, what Camden Catholic had been able to do there if they advanced. But yeah, I mean, you have two priority recruits now for Temple. Obviously, we've talked about this before. They went hard after Stevie Mitchell. Stevie Mitchell ends up at Marquette. And then you mentioned Zach Hicks's official visit. He was on that official visit last October, almost around this time last year, with Stevie Mitchell. Goes to show you what advanced planning can do, because none of us knew at this point last year that a pandemic was going to hit, but they had him on campus. They were able to get him on campus. Obviously, he lives close by, just over the bridge, but they were able to pivot to Hasir Miller. They had an offer out to him. So now you have two local guys in the fold, and we'll talk about this later in the mailbag. Now I think they have a little bit of flexibility with what they can do with that third scholarship, whether they roll it over, whether Brandon Sanders does indeed come into the fold. We'll see what happens there. Sam, what can you tell us about what to look for in your story up on the site as people listen to the podcast now? Where are they going to be getting your story without giving away everything? What are some of the other things that you got into with Zach that they can anticipate?
I think just the biggest stuff is kind of what he's looking at for what his plan is for this next year, and kind of deciphering between Temple and Richmond and what went into that decision, and you know, all that good stuff. I think a lot of our conversation was just kind of what went into the planning of this decision, and really what was it that helped him settle on Temple.
Awesome. Good stuff there from Sam and on Zach Hicks. And in the world of more scoops from Sam Cohn, Sam also talked to, when we talk about the recruiting world here, not a verbal commitment, but Sam was able to talk to Sean Simmons, class of 2023 forward from Friends Central up on City Lion Avenue, just outside of the city. Sam, you talked to Sean, your story's up on the site now. Obviously, early in his recruitment, we would anticipate that Sean's probably going to blow up and continue to blow up. Obviously, he's headed into his sophomore season, but you know, he's getting some early interest from Florida, Georgetown, Maryland, some early interest from UCLA, San Diego State. But had some good things to say about Aaron and the staff and them getting involved with him early. Again, give people just a little bit of a glimpse of what was in your story there.
Big thing about Sean Simmons is I'll say two things. The first being that's a hometown kid. He said it felt good to get a hometown offer. He has offers from, I think, St. Joe's is the only other Philly school, but he's a West Philly kid. So to get an offer from a school in the city, he was pretty excited about and he felt good about. But again, I mean, he has offers from Georgetown, St. Joe's, LaSalle too is the other one. So he to have three city offers was exciting for him. The thing that stood out to me the most about him is as a freshman, he scored 450 points in his freshman season in 23 games. He played 23 regular season games, so that could stretch into the playoffs. But I'm texting Sam Newman and I'm like, this kid, 450, he's on pace for almost 2,000 points in his high school career is ridiculous. So, I mean, it's 6'6", 185 for a freshman. Like, he's probably still growing. He's going to put some weight on. He's a bit lanky right now, but he can rise up. He can move. He's got a good body. And, I mean, for a freshman, he's miles ahead of what probably a lot of kids around him are. He plays a pretty tough schedule. So, I was pretty impressed by him and kind of what he brings to the table.
I just want to make an interesting point here. For them to be able to land somebody like Hasir Miller, it definitely opens up the door for somebody like Sean Simmons to come in. I feel like that's just an underrated aspect of landing somebody like Hasir Miller, especially at this point and of where Aaron McKee is and the staff.
Yeah, definitely. That comes up a lot on our message boards. It comes up a lot kind of in our chat about how getting that kid from the city opens up is what Aaron McKee was trying to do. And the question when he came in was, how long is it going to take Aaron McKee to get the kid from the city and start recruiting back from Philly rather than going out to Jersey and beyond, you know, Maryland, Georgia, wherever. So to get that kid from the city, just as Sam was saying, opens up a door to grab
another. And you see how Sean Simmons mentioned how meaningful it was for him to get an offer. So you know what? It opens up a door.
Exactly. And they're getting in on him real early. He said his last phone call with them, they said, you know, listen, whatever happens your next few years, we do want to stay in touch. We do want to have that relationship and keep building that relationship. So it sounds like they made a good impression on him.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, the balance of power in Philly area basketball kind of goes back and forth between, you know, you have the Catholic League schools like Newman Gretti, where Hasir Miller is coming from. Friends Central certainly produced some great players over the years, like Hakeem Warwick, who ended up at Syracuse. So no doubt, again, that his recruitment will be highly contested. But again, you're getting your foot in the door early. I think we posted the story in a couple of places, and people were saying, they got to get this done. He's just heading into his sophomore season. But you know, you get an offer out there, you get a local recruit saying some good things about the program, and we'll see where it goes from there. All right. So again, keep an eye out for Sam's story. Again, by the time you guys are listening to the podcast here tonight on Friday night, you'll know that again, Zach Hicks is committed. Sam's story will be up on the site. Look for that. Again, we've got some a few basketball mailbag questions later on in the podcast here. Obviously a lot of football stuff going on too. We'll get to some talk about Thad Ward, Temple's wide receivers coach, and the receivers in a second. Sam and I were just on the media availability that ended not too long ago. Earlier this week, on Tuesday, Rod Carey talked, and we talked to Sam and some of the other guys on the staff and some other reporters, talked to the defensive backs, all the cornerbacks. You've seen some of the stories we have up on Liquid Crump, Christian Braswell. It's going to be a deeper group this year, certainly. Christian Braswell talked about how he's nursing a hamstring injury, thinks he'll be fine for the opener on the 26th at Navy. Just to recap, in case you guys aren't as familiar with it, when Rod Carey spoke on Tuesday and Tuesday's media availability, the first few questions were about how much the team can do and what they're limited to by the city of Philadelphia. They did their first team reps Monday, and one of the things Rod said is if you normally get 100 reps in practice, they got about 10. So the challenging thing is trying to get the volume where the team is ready to play, safe to play, he said. But with that being said, Rod said it was great to get out there. They had a lot of juice. He said it was one of the snappiest practices they've had. One of the things that Rod said is, I asked him if even if getting 10 reps in was far from ideal, was it a step in the right direction? And here's what he had to say about that.
Yeah, listen, you do team reps, you get closer. Now, the question becomes, what's the distance you have to travel to be ready and safe? And what, you know, if we stay at this pace, won't be ready till Thanksgiving, you know. But we're not going to at some point. We have a schedule. And, you know, I got faith in our city people and in our university people that we're all doing the right thing trying to manage this pandemic here and get ready for a football season. And so I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And, you know, certainly we'll get to that point soon.
All right. So obviously a lot of you have also asked about the schedule. What's going to happen with the schedule? There's obviously a ton of uncertainty with the coronavirus. Vinny James, Temple's senior associate AD and chief of staff, was also part of Tuesday's media availability. He was asked about the likelihood of scheduling a game on either October 3rd or October 10th in that space between the Navy game that's currently scheduled for September 26th and the USF home opener that's set to be at the link on October 17th. And here's what Vinny James had to say about scheduling.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, those are our realistic options for where a game could go. You know, I really don't know the likelihood. It's going to really all be predicated on our situation. You've heard Rod just talk about we can run 10 plays today, right? And it's hard to increase that. Without doing that, we can't really put a team on the field. So until that changes, we won't really change anything in the schedule, right? So, you know, our sole focus is right now just trying to get to the point where we can practice, and games are going to have to be secondary. So that's kind of our focus in scheduling without being able to know when we can practice and prepare a team to play, we won't schedule anything.
All right, so there you hear Vinny saying that until they can really ramp up more reps in practice, they're not going to schedule anything. Then later on the call, Vinny talked about how things would look and feel with no fans, and then what the additional challenges might be as he talked more about what goes into scheduling an additional game.
It does change the dynamic a bit. I think the most important thing is just finding the right fit for your team, but it definitely changes the dynamic a bit. I mean, you know, you want to be able to play in front of your fans, and not being able to do that will change the dynamic. But, you know, to a point where really the most important dynamic we're worried about right now is being able to practice and prepare our guys. And then if that happens and we can schedule a game, we're going to schedule the best opponent we can. There's a lot of people that are in our situation. So we'll schedule the best opponent we can, but we've got to take a lot of things into account. You know, what areas we're going into. Philadelphia has some pretty strict travel restrictions that are going on, as they should, and we fully respect those. And, you know, so we'd have to work with the city on that. If we want to play in an area that would require a 14-day quarantine upon return, we would have to work with the city on how that works. And then other places will have those same restrictions, possibly with Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. So, you know, whatever visiting opponent, we would have to work with them on their side of things. So those dynamic, there's a lot of layers to that. And that's a great question about where we're going to play. And it's not always a one-way street. We've got to make sure that if we wanted to play an opponent coming into here, that they don't have similar restrictions.
All right. So some good insight there from Vinny James about the schedule, as obviously we'll just have to stay tuned on the day at a time approach of college athletics and the coronavirus and see how things go. Again, I think I mentioned at the outset of the podcast, right before we started recording, the football media availability, the football media availability for Friday had finished up. So a bunch of us as reporters got to talk to Thad Ward, the wide receivers coach, Brandon Mack, Jaden Blue, Randall Jones. Sam, am I leaving anybody else out? Who else did we talk to?
Just them.
Yeah. So four guys today. Again, we'll have coverage of those guys as well as part of our ongoing preseason camp coverage. What stood out from today, Sam? I mean, it seemed a lot of the talk was, again, I think you might agree with me here, I think wide receivers probably their deepest position group, between Jaden Blue having a breakout season, Brandon Mack having a breakout season, Randall Jones coming back into the fold, and they're starting to talk more about Jordan Smith. They're starting to talk more about Jose Barbone. We'll play some audio here in a second, but they've talked a lot about the five wide receiver aspect of things and going five wide. Is that one of the biggest things you took out of today?
Yeah, I thought an interesting aspect of what Thad Ward talked about is the versatility that they have in that room. And obviously, they basically what he said is one through four, they feel can play all over the field. And that, obviously, that one through four is what we just talked about, Brandon Mack, Jaden Blue, Jose Barbone, Randall Jones, probably not in that order, but all those guys can play around that field. And obviously, talking about the five wide personnel, Temple feels are really deep in that room. And he didn't really mention anybody by name. I feel like he threw Ronnie Stevenson's name out there and Reams and Evans. But those are also guys who can contribute down the line. Obviously, Temple is going to have some holes in that room for the future. But right now, it's one of the deepest groups that they have offensively. And it's something that they're very excited about. And obviously, when you can return players like Jaden Blue, who set a program record for the way that he played in 2019, and Brandon Mack, who under the radar had a fantastic season, and then Randall Jones, who's a playmaker in his own right, returning after hamstring injury. To have the three veteran wide receivers like that, it's something that Temple hasn't seen in a while. So a lot of expectations for that room this year, John.
Yeah, I thought it was a little interesting that Thad Ward brought up Ronnie Stevenson's name and dropped his name. I don't mean to scrutinize it here. I mean, sometimes players, you'll say to them, like, who's standing out? And they might say to you later, oh, I meant to mention that guy the other day, but I didn't. Obviously, again, Barbone comes up. Jordan Smith comes up. Stevenson would be an intriguing possibility. Again, he's still just a redshirt sophomore, but he has that Brandon Mack body type where he's almost like a leaner tight end. I think one of the things that Thad said was, you know, after the quarantine, guys came back and, you know, again, I'm paraphrasing here. He said some of them were either in really good shape and really took advantage of it. Some of them didn't. He said Ronnie Stevenson was a guy who came back in really good shape. Again, I don't know that he's going to be a guy that really contributes a whole lot this season. But if, you know, if they play this season and Randall Jones and Jaden Blue and Brandon Mack all move along, Ronnie could be part of that next group that picks up the slack. Again, they mentioned Quezzy Evans and some of these other guys. So what you're going to hear here is Thad Ward answering Sam's question, talking about going five wide. And then later on, I asked him about Jaden Blue. A lot of you guys are familiar with his story. He kind of left the team and it was kind of up in the air about as to whether or not he was going to come back and play. And obviously he decided to come back and play. He went from playing sparingly to coming back, becoming Temple's first wide receiver to record 1,000 yards receiving in a single season, now has a single digit. So quite a turnaround for him. So here's Thad Ward first talking about going five wide, and then later on Thad talking about when I asked him about Jaden Blue, like what changed for him, what forged a connection between this staff and Jaden Blue.
Yeah, what goes into that is, you know, from Coach Carey's standpoint, is who's executing plays, you know, who group is showing up. If we only have two receivers, then only two receivers are going to play. The more guys we have that can execute and go out and, you know, make plays, then those are the guys that you're going to see more on Saturday. So this is a very player-friendly offense. So if you have great three or four great tight ends, those guys are going to play the most. So that challenged our group. You know, we do have a deep group for those, some of those young guys to step up and get ready to play. Yeah, so, you know, when you come into a new team, you try to and I'm being as transparent. You come in, I try my best not to, you know, listen to what everybody's saying. I just try to come in with an open mind and kind of see what production shows up. And I think you have to get to know the kids, and they get, like you said, building the trust. You have to get to know each and every one of those guys. And Jaden stepped from the first day I showed up. He stood out. He stood out as a human being. He stood out as a player. He's just an awesome individual, super smart, super talented, and he's still growing. And so I know we're going to see some things, some different things for him. He's very, very motivated. Sometimes when you have guys that have big years like that, they come back sometimes not as motivated, or they've been listening to the outside noise about how great they are. He hasn't. He's very motivated. He's one of the hardest workers that we have, and I just love him to death. So he's gonna do some big things for us this year. He's, like I said, he's a great kid.
All right, so again, just stay tuned to the site. Again, we'll have ongoing coverage of football. There's going to be more media availability next week as preseason camp progresses. We've got a lot of mailbag questions to get to here, football-related, basketball-related, a lot on people's minds in the Temple sports world, which is a good thing. We'll start with, let's scroll down here to the mailbag. Some football stuff. This first question comes from the screen name Parson Stowe from the message board. As a lover of the power running game of yesteryear, does anyone have an idea of how Onassis is looking? And he's referring to Onassis Neely. So, yeah, Rod Carey actually did bring him up this week on Tuesday when I asked him about how the running back competition looked. Pretty just simple, open-ended question. I didn't ask him specifically about Onassis Neely, and Rod was kind of, you know, cautious in his assessment and saying, listen, we still, and you'll hear this clip in a second. I'll play this clip here to answer this question. But he mentions Onassis Neely by name. So obviously you have Ramon Davis, you have Tavon Rooley, who they scholarship. You'll hear him mention Ed Sadie here, but he does bring up Onassis Neely, and O'Neely's a bigger back at 6 feet, 210 pounds, and played at East Pennsboro High School out in kind of like in the direction of Harrisburg, and was a real good high school back. So he blew out his knee last year. He's back. If he has a chance to contribute this year, again, he could complement, a smaller guy like Davis, a smaller guy like Sadie. Tavon Rooley's a little bit bigger, but he did bring up Onassis Neely's name. So we'll play this clip for you here really quickly just to answer this question.
Yeah, I think our depth is better there. I'm going to tell you what I think, okay, because I don't have any actionable evaluation tools to give you, which I would share if I do. But right now, I think the group is deeper just because a lot of guys have played with Tavon Rooley. Ed Sadie got some playing time. Kyle Dobbins played on special teams. You know, Mike Mitchell's another year into it. Onassis Neely, really one of the newcomers. I should say newcomers. He's been here a while, but that first spring, about a year and 4 months ago, you know, he blew his knee out. So this is his first time really getting on the field. Sure, I like the depth. As far as where we are as a group, I can't answer that yet. I'll know more as we get practicing more.
All right, so a little bit there on Onassis Neely in the running back position from Rod Carey. Next question comes from Rockland Owl. When would you expect to be the go or no-go deadline for the Navy game, given the restrictions on practice to date? Great question, Rockland Al. I don't know. I guess it's going to be more hurry up and wait. I think obviously the players and the coaches are hopeful. I mean, earlier in the podcast, we played the clip where Rod Carey said, hopefully we can walk and chew gum here and safely ramp things up. And he joked around at one point and said, if we continue at this pace, we're not going to be fully ready until Thanksgiving. But I don't know if there's going to be, you know, a drop dead date that they have in mind. Obviously all these decisions are made above our pay grades, but we'll see. Hopefully they can play a season. Hopefully they can be ready to play down at Navy on September 26th. The team is continuing to practice, even though the university has paused all but essential in-person classes for the remaining portion of the fall semester. So we'll see what happens. Again, we get media availability. We ask them how things are ramping up. Obviously, you can tell that the players and the coaches want to ramp things up. They're, you know, very deferential to the city and saying we want to be safe, we want to be cautious, but we'll have to see what happens. But I would be lying if I said that we knew about any sort of drop-dead deadline about that Navy game. Next question, another one from Parson Stone. This shifts to basketball. What about that big guy, Sam? What's going on with him? He's referring to hoops. He's referring to Sam Iamide. I don't know. It's a great question. So if we shift back to basketball here, so again, you have Hasir Miller in the fold from Newman Garetti. You've got your point guard from Philly. You have Zach Hicks in the fold now, your wing forward who can shoot it from just over the river in South Jersey from Camden Catholic High School. We'll talk about Brandon Sanders. There's two more questions along here from Al Worldwide. He's asking about Brandon Sanders. We don't know. Yes, he is verbally committed to Temple. We'll see if he ends up at Temple, if he ends up prepping. What's going on with Sam Iamide? I guess Temple has some flexibility with that third scholarship. You know, if Sanders ends up prepping, then he becomes a 2022 guy, right, guys?
Correct.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, obviously, Sam Iamide just got a Kansas offer. That's a big deal in his recruitment. We had always heard that Temple was still in pretty good with him. Memphis was still in pretty good with him. I don't know where things stand. I mean, if I were a betting man, I would say that he probably doesn't end up at Temple, but you know, things could change. I think the staff is in a pretty good, and I want you guys to weigh in on this as well. I think the staff's in a pretty good position now where, again, bears repeating, they went hard after Stevie Mitchell. They didn't get him, but they still ended up with a really good player in Hasir Miller, who could prove to be, we'll see down the line, could prove to be just as good. You know, John Brennan, when he was on the podcast about a month ago, said, I think he's a program changer or a culture changer. You have two priorities in the fold if you're Aaron McKee and your staff that you wanted to get. They could do a lot with that third scholarship. They could roll it over to next year. They could hold it for a grad transfer who becomes available. I mean, so much is going to be fluid this year. If there are leagues that don't play and there are guys that are looking to graduate and transfer and be grad transfers, maybe Temple says, hey, there's a 6'10", 6'11" big who's versatile or can play with his back to the basket that we really like. Maybe you save that third scholarship for him. So a lot of it comes into the fold here. But I don't know. If we were betting people here, do you guys think Sam Iamide ends up at Temple?
I'm going to go with probably not. I say that because, A, he had a Kansas offer, which who knows how serious that is, but, you know, it's still a good offer. But the way I see it is that he's the type of kid that could really blow up if there is a winter season. He was really just getting started and really growing his game. And I think if he does get a chance to prove it even more this winter and get to play AAU, I think he's going to be I think he's going to blow his recruitment up and probably go somewhere else. That would be my guess. With that being said, they'd probably look towards a grad transfer or rolling it into next year.
Yeah, from what I understand, it seems like he's bound for bigger things rather than going to, you know, the AAC, maybe a Power 5 program. Also, from what I understand, is Seton Hall is very much involved in his recruitment, and that's definitely a school that looms large, could be potentially a landing spot for him, but that remains to be seen. So I think we all agree in the sense of it that he might be bound for bigger things. But Temple always has that fallback option with Brandon Sanders if that ends up working out. So not time to panic on that one.
Yeah, and if you're Temple, obviously, if Sam Iamide is still reaching out to you and saying, and I don't know that he is, but if he says, hey, I still like you guys, yeah, they are in a position where they could be in it until the end if they wanted to, but they're in a better position now, you know, early September. And this is typically, even in the course of a normal season, this is when the commitments start picking up, late August, early September. Again, if we were in the middle of a pandemic, they would start hosting official visits again. They try to get guys on campus during a football game, get them down to the link, get them out in Lot K in the sun, good weather, all that stuff. They can't do that right now. But again, as of September 4th, they have two of their top priorities in the fold, so they have flexibility. Again, if Sam Iamide still says, I'm still really interested in you guys, I would imagine that they would still try to stay involved with them. But as Sam Newman just said there, you're up against Seton Hall. I think they would be some of your biggest competition. Memphis would be some of your biggest competition. Obviously, Kansas is in the fold. I'd be lying to you if I said off the top of my head I know what some of Kansas's other priorities are. But we'll see. Great question. One of those things that will have to evolve. next question or set of questions come from dblaze75 from the message board. I have a couple of questions, if I may. Of course you may, dblaze75. What's your best guess on the start of the basketball season? One, normal start time. Two, delayed. Three, bubble for out-of-conference tournaments. Four, only conference games allowed. Great question. I know it sounds like a weak answer. I honestly don't know. Things constantly change, or we hope that they'll constantly change with testing. What testing looks like now might not be what testing looks like in October or November. If there is the possibility of more rapid testing, if they can be tested more frequently, it'd be wonderful if the season could start in November on time, and maybe they're playing and they're just not playing in front of fans. Obviously, all of this will have to be done safely in the most safe and healthy way. My best guess would be, as of now, if you're asking us on September 4th, and again, guys, feel free to weigh in. If you're asking me on September 4th, my best guess, and it is absolutely nothing more than that, is that the season would start like in January in conference games. But we'll see. Hopefully this world continues to advance, like I said, in the medical world and in the way of testing. And hopefully there's a safe way to start the season in November. But what do you guys think?
Well, I would tend to agree with you that January is probably the best start time. And honestly, I don't know what that looks like, but theoretically, if we're talking about conference play, you could always play conference play in a bubble because they do play the conference tournament somewhere specifically, like they played in Texas. So theoretically, if you need to play in a bubble, they could potentially do that, some conference tournament, whatever. I don't really know what that looks like, but I do agree with you that non-conference might be difficult. I mean, I know Temple has a game to play – scheduled to play Virginia and Charlotte in November. Something like, do we really know if that's going to happen? That game looks more up in the air as time goes on. So honestly, you're probably looking for the start time after Christmas, New Year, with maybe some conference games thrown in there before the tournament.
This feels like a cop-out answer just because I'm going third. But I was going to say, I think January 1st is likely what you're looking at. There's been talks of pushing it back to late November. Generally, the season starts like first week of November. I think something they've been coming out with, the two options they've been coming out with recently is, do you push back to later November, just buy yourself a couple weeks, and then as John was mentioning, like there'd probably be no fans, and you know, kind of how do you deal with rapid testing? And then there's also been this discussion about putting college basketball into bubbles and conference bubbles. And I think that if I were a betting man, I would say they start January 1st, play a conference schedule, and then put the tournament in a bubble. Both conference tournament and then March Madness in a bubble. That's my guess, because I think they're – I mean, you hear the higher-ups in the NCAA – in college basketball and NCAA say, like, we are having a NCAA tournament. We're having these tournaments. We're going to play something. So that's my best guess based on, you know, what I've seen.
And if pro sports goes to show anything, the bubble format is working very effectively right now. So
if Temple basketball is sent to a bubble, can I go? Will Al Scoop pay for me to go to the bubble?
We'll see, Sam, as long as it can be done safely. Sam Cohen from inside the bubble.
So can we put Sam like in an actual bubble, like the bubble boy from Seinfeld, while he's in the bubble? So like bubbleception.
Sam, what do you think?
If it puts me in the bubble, I'm game to do whatever.
There we go. Good Seinfeld reference. I don't ever want to lose out on a good Seinfeld reference.
We always have to get a Seinfeld reference in there. I mean, it's just in my nature how I was raised.
That would be tremendous. All right. Next question here comes from – I lost my place. Oh, number two, dblaze75, second question. Assuming Temple lands Zach Hicks, what are their next priority recruits? And we kind of already covered that, but it's a good question. Again, if you can stay in the Sam Iamide game, hang around, see what happens. If you see, and again, all these questions kind of collide, if you know that you can push Brandon Sanders to the following year, and if he does prep and that works out, then you have that free scholarship. Again, I think we already covered it, but I think it's your next priority recruit would be just waiting, and waiting in a good way, waiting on potentially a grad transfer, or maybe you do find a diamond in the rough that becomes your third scholarship for 2021. Mm-hmm. But you guys want to weigh on this at all again?
Yeah, I think we all can come to an agreement that I don't know if we know particular names besides him, Ayamide, Brandon Sanders, but I mean, it's definitely going to be a big man. It's just something that they have to get.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, that's pretty much all you can do right now. If you're not getting Sam Ayamide and you're kind of on the fence about Brandon Sanders, I think you're just playing the waiting game in a good way.
Yeah. Again, next question on the message board comes from Al Worldwide. Is Brandon Sanders likely to make the roster? He looks like the real deal on defense. Again, kind of wait and see. You know, we'll see if he's scheduled to go to a prep school. We'll see. I mean, again, I think this is going to go one of two ways. If it doesn't work out and he ends up somewhere else, that's what happens. But if he ends up going and prepping and it's a good fit, and he keeps his commitment to Temple and he comes in and he's an immediate shot blocking presence, then Monte Ross and the Temple staff, they look like geniuses for, you know, sticking with him. Hard to say at this point. Again, he verbally committed. I think some things still have to fall into place. To say he's likely to make the roster, I have no idea, but you hope for the kid's sake, and you want to, in a world where you want to see people do well, hopefully he goes to prep school and everything goes well for him. And if he ends up at Temple, and you have an immediate shot-blocking presence, I think they would love that. I think we just kind of have to wait and see how that goes. Last question here comes from DThomas96. Any insight on how the opening of Nate Pierre-Louis' scholarship affects recruiting? Same thing. I feel like all these questions are interspersed here, are tied together. So the opening of Nate Pierre-Louis' scholarship affecting future recruiting, that's all part of what we're talking about now. There is that third scholarship. So, again, it could be hold for a transfer, grabbing somebody else, or just punting it to next year. But that's how it would affect recruiting. So that will do it for this week. Again, big thank you to my trusty partners here, Sam Cohen and Sam Newman. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the insight into the Zach Hicks commitment, all the football audio and the football insight. We'll keep things moving into next week. Hoping to have a couple of guests for you in the fold next week to talk some basketball recruiting, the impact of the Zach Hicks commitment. We're hoping to have our good friend Ari Rosenfeld from the Delaware Valley Hoops Report on to talk to us. And thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully you guys are safe, happy, and healthy wherever you are. And we will talk to you soon. Any closing thoughts, guys? Any words of wisdom, food takes, life takes? I would completely, totally put you on the spot.
Yeah, you did.
If you guys could see their expressions on Zoom right now, they're looking at me like they want to jump through and kill me.
I thought you had a perfect ending right there, and he's like,
no, and I just pivoted right out of it. I'm a bad director right now.
We talked about how the Celtics lost game 3 to the Raptors.
That tough scene.
Our group text is for Sam. What's that?
I put out a wellness check for him after that.
Yes, that made me laugh. Our Al Scoop group text is always enjoyable. I did not see a minute of that game. I watched probably more hockey last night than I have in the past 6 months. There was plenty of it available in overtime, but there will be a game 7. This is not a hockey podcast by any means.
You don't have to clean up if you don't want to.
What's that?
You don't have to relive that.
We're not reliving it.
Okay.
Hey, Sam, you got a team in the playoffs. Life could be worse.
That's true. I'm not going to complain.
Your team made the right decisions in the draft, swindled the Sixers in a trade, and everyone's suspicions about Danny Ainge were correct. So
my team, too.
What's that?
I'm a Nets fan. They swindled the Nets, too. That's why they have Jaylen Brown and who they
– Best advice you can give, if Danny Ainge is on the other line, hang up the phone.
Yep. Yeah, but they didn't. And then they were left with Markelle Fultz. So.
Like another New England page, New England, all in that same vicinity. Not New England, but Boston sports team. If Bill Belichick calls, also hang up the phone.
Yes.
Well, Ryan Poulin calls you, though, until you pick that up, because he's going to give you a star player.
If who calls?
If Heim Bloom calls you and Red Sox offers, you pick up the phone because he's just going to deal out star players.
You have seen a couple World Series, so we're not going to take up a collection for you.
Ebbs and flows to everything. So, all right, guys, thanks again for another great week. We will talk to you all next week.